Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Life Actually with Rebecca Keane, and the very first episode of 2024. Thank you for joining me, the first episode of the new year. This is my third year of having the podcast. It's the podcast's second birthday, in January. So is it January or February? I'll actually check, but in a couple of weeks, which is crazy. And it has taken me 2 years to actually start the book club, which this episode is all going to be about, or going to be all about. You can tell that I was out last night for New Year's, as you can tell in every episode that I probably haven't had enough sleep because I always stumble over my words. But I'm really excited, and I've just spent the last kind of 45 minutes making notes and going through, highlighting, researching the first like four pages of the introduction. And I'm just so excited by this book already. I feel like it's really come to me, and hopefully a lot of you people listening, whenever you need it, like at a time when you need it, especially as a lot of people who listen to this podcast are around my age or in your like mid or early 20s. As of the 13th of December, I'm officially 27 and in my late 20s, but you know, I'm getting on at 27. But I do really feel like this book is just going to be a really good one, like a really strong way to start the year. My friend Kate, who has already started it, she said she started it, I think it was earlier this year, when I put the poll on the Life Actually the Podcast Instagram. I put it up between this book and Do Less by Kate Northrup for, like, we can vote to what are we voted for which one to actually read in January, and this book won. But Kate replied to my story and was like, yes, need the inspiration to actually finish this book. And I was like, oh, like, was it not good? And she was like, no, it's really good, it's just not fun. And I thought that was so funny. And then I was talking to my sister about it, she was like, yeah, that's the perfect way to describe it. Like, really great book, really strong, so much amazing information. Like, get your highlighter ready because you're going to highlight so much. But it is not fun, it is like intense, it really makes you look at yourself. It's so much, like, there is so much information about why you're in your own way. And I guess that makes sense because we are the mountains, and the mountain is you, and the mountain is me. Which reminds me, I should probably tell you what the book is called, because I don't think I've actually done that yet. So January's book, we are doing The Mountain Is You by Brianna Wiest. I am not too sure how to say her surname, but I'll try and figure it out. And I'm going to read you the blurb, and then I'm going to read some of her reviews, and then we'll get into the introduction chapter, and I'll give like a really quick overview about like how I think it's going to be structured, the episodes over the next month, in terms of like when they're going to be released and how many there will be, and why I started the book club in the first place. Word of warning, I am going for dinner in the reservations in 28 minutes. I'm currently in my tracksuit bottoms with my house coat on, and it's a 10 minute walk away, which is quite close. So what's probably going to happen is I'm going to record like the first bit now, the reviews and everything else, and then finish it later whenever I get home and upload it for tomorrow morning. So we are starting the year strong, not in the 1st of January, but today's kind of a chill day anyway, starting with the introductory chapter on the 2nd of January, which is when this will be released. And this week, this will probably take the place of my regular programmed episodes, which usually come out on a Tuesday. So yeah, without further ado, let's get into it. The blurb. I'm about to read the blurb. Here we go. This is a book about self-sabotage. Why we do it, when we do it, and how to stop doing it for good. Coexisting but conflicting needs create self-sabotaging behaviours. This is why we resist efforts to change, often until they feel completely futile. But by extracting crucial insight from our most damaging habits, building emotional intelligence by better understanding our brains and bodies, releasing past experiences at a cellular level, and learning to act as our highest potential future selves, so we can step out of our own way and into our potential. For centuries, the mountain has been used as a metaphor for the big challenges we face, especially ones that seem impossible to overcome. To scale our mountains, we actually have to do the deep internal work of excavating trauma, building resilience, and adjusting how we show up for the climb. In the end, it is not about the mountain we master, but ourselves. I read the last sentence wrong. In the end, it is not the mountain we master, but ourselves. I like that. Self-sabotage. If you're anything like me, you are highly, highly, highly probably guilty of self-sabotage, because I really am. I get my own way all the time, and honestly, I'm fucking sick of it. So this bitch pointed at me is getting out of her way in 2024. 2024 is a year of expansion. It's a year of doing big, bold fucking things. I don't care what age you are. I don't care where in the world you are, where in your life you are. Like, it's just the year to go for it. I think there was something in the stars that meant that 2023 was a year of... it says it on the first page. Positive disintegration, I think it says. I'm about to read it out. But that's like the perfect way to say it, where things kind of, yeah, positive disintegration. Things fell apart, but not necessarily in a negative way. And you're kind of, like me personally, actually, I'm rebuilding a lot of what I thought I wanted for what I actually want now at this phase of my life, and rebuilding, like, just my kind of future vision and my current reality for what I want now, rather than what society is telling me that I should want and what I think is possible for myself. Because my current reality, all of our current realities, are a result of what we previously thought was possible for ourselves. And I want the future version of me to have the most fucking insane reality ever based on what I think is possible for myself now. And it is this book club and the books that we read and the actions that we take and the thoughts that we think that are actually going to impact the realities that we create for ourselves and what we believe is possible for ourselves. And 2024, big fucking moves, expansion, and infinite possibilities. That is the vibe. That is the vibe. And this book is going to get us out of our own way, guys. It is getting us out of our own way. It is very good, but not fun, as Kate said. Right, I'm going to read some reviews. So this is one that's actually in this front of the book, and it's at the start of the book, not in the front of the book. And I thought it was quite good. I highlighted it. The Mountain Is You is a wake-up call that inspires hope in adversity. You're invited to burn the rules of what you've been taught about yourself as you awaken your inner hero and consciously choose a new narrative and ultimately create a life you deeply desire and deserve. There's more of the review, but this was the most important thing I think. You're invited to burn the rules of what you've been taught about yourself. I thought that was so powerful because, like I just said, what we have thought is possible for ourselves is why we are where we are right now. It is why we are where we are today. I'm so lucky that I've always had people who have built me up and teachers who believed in me and parents who told me I was capable of anything. And I'm sitting in a lovely apartment in a really gorgeous area of London with a man that I love who loves me, and I have a really lovely life that I've created for myself, and I'm so fucking thankful for that. Obviously, it's not been without its trials and tribulations and trauma and, you know, my own way and everything else, but I am so thankful for that. But even me sitting here, as privileged as I am right now, I have so many limiting beliefs and so many, like I said, traumas and fucked up things in my head that there's no need for them to be there. Like, when I look at the evidence throughout my life, so many of my beliefs do not match that. But also, so many aspects of my current reality do match the beliefs that I've had at the same time, even if they're not, like, not legit beliefs, but even if they're not, the beliefs don't have, like, solid ground. It's just, it's crazy what we are conditioned to think and believe about ourselves, about what is possible for ourselves, about what we can and can't do, and how that impacts our life. So it's time to burn the rules of what we've been taught about ourselves and choose a new narrative and create a life that we deeply desire and deserve, because we deserve the best, and I want us to have the best, and the universe wants us to have the best, and fuck it, we're gonna have the best, because why not? So I've went for my dinner. I had a nice 8-hour sleep. I worked this morning and I'm now back on my lunch break, back recording this episode. It is officially the 2nd of January. We're getting right back into it. And let's continue where we left off, because you probably wouldn't have even known that it's a whole different day if I hadn't have just said. But as I was saying, this is going to be a great year. Let's get stuck into it. And with this book, I actually Googled some reviews as well. And there's this website called bookclubs.com, which I found last night, and one of the reviews on it, most of them are really, really, really positive. And then there was this one that said, did not finish at page 73. I got 30% of the way through. The content was hard to reflect about and even harder to get past the reflection because of subtle implied meanings by the author. It made me feel at some point of time, trauma was just a figment of the imagination, and it's the
and it's the individual's fault, which isn't true, and I don't accept this at all. So I find that really interesting, because trauma obviously is not the victim's fault. It's not our fault that we experience trauma. But I do think that it is our individual responsibility to look after ourselves and take accountability to recover from it and do better from it. Obviously, trauma is like, it's a spectrum, you know, like the traumas that I've experienced in life are nowhere near the traumas that other people experience in life, and vice versa. It's this whole big scale. But I just thought that was an interesting point, that this does seem to be a book that if you read it at the wrong point in your life, maybe it will trigger a lot for you, because you haven't acknowledged the fact that you have to take your own responsibility to recover, and you have to take your own responsibility to get better and get past the things that have really held you back. And I just want to stress again, like, the trauma that we've all individually experienced in our lives is not our fault. I do not believe that at all. But I do believe, and I'm definitely open to discussion in this because it's something that I'm probably quite naive to, but I do think that we have a duty to look after ourselves, and we owe it to ourselves to get better. And then whenever I googled this, because I was like, am I really wrong in thinking that, like, my first reaction was, you know, whoever's reading this, clearly this was just not the book for them at this time. And I've read books before where I've not been ready to read them, and I've had conversations before when I've not been ready to have them. Like, in terms of, even if I think back to my weight, right, like a few years ago, maybe in like 2018, or my eyebrows would actually be a good example. Now, this is a really simple example, but I just want to give you an example of some kind, right? I'm not equating this to any kind of trauma that people experience in their lives, but this is an example. I had fucking awful eyebrows in 2000, and it was like the year I finished school or the year after. I think 2016, 2017, my first, second year of uni. They were awful. They were so bad. Everybody told me they were bad. My siblings obviously told me they were bad and completely ripped the arse out of me for them. My parents told me they were bad. My close friends, like, probably kind of hinted, like, everybody knew that my eyebrows were awful, and they did. They looked like fucking wings on my head. Like, they were like ticks, upside down ticks. They were so bad. But if you had have said that to me there, I got so defensive and I got so upset, and I just was not ready to see the fact that my eyebrows were genuinely absolutely atrocious. And now looking back, I'm like, they're so bad because I'm obviously older and I've grown out of it and I have nice eyebrows, genuinely nice eyebrows now. And although that's a really simple example, I hope that it does a good job of showing what I mean by saying sometimes we're just not ready to have conversations and to be made aware of the fact that we are responsible for fixing things in our life, even if they're not our fault. Now, my eyebrows were my fault. My lashes that I also had on at the time were my fault. My weight also my fault. But they were conversations I was not comfortable having because I was so in it. And now I look back and be like, actually, I have healed from it, mostly. And I'm able to have those conversations in retrospect. So that was kind of my thought process whenever I read this review, that we can take accountability but not ownership of the things that have traumatized us and the trauma that we've had throughout our lives. So it was Google that gave me that sentence. I did not make it up by myself. It put it into very eloquent words rather than the really roundabout way that I just said it. But take accountability, not ownership. And what else did I copy off Google? Reaching acceptance is not a linear path. I thought that was really nice. I will say, if you find yourself at any point throughout this book, which I think from the reviews that I've read and just talking to like my sister and Kate and anybody else who's read it, it is very like right in your face. Oh fuck, I'm in my own way. Oh shit, I actually do have to take responsibility for this. So, I mean, I'm probably going to feel a bit overwhelmed at some points as well throughout the book. If you do, I guess take a breather. I'll take a breather, put the book down. You know, reset, it'll be okay. And although I have said multiple times throughout this episode, the 14 minutes so far, that is not going to be particularly fun from what I understand, it will be fun because I'm here chatting shit the whole way through, and it's kind of just nice to hear somebody else's opinion, isn't it? I need to maybe find like another book club or TikTok videos or YouTubes or something that have YouTube videos that have done reviews on this so that I can like process the information, but I guess I'm processing it as I say it out loud anyway. Anyway, moving on. So I'm going to read some of the points that she makes in the book. So introduction, it starts on page 5 and it goes like this. Much like nature, life is very often working in our favour, even when it seems like we are only being faced with adversity, discomfort and change. As forest fires are essential to the ecology of the environment, opening new seeds that require heat to sprout and rebuild a population of trees, our minds also go through periodic episodes of positive disintegration or a cleansing through which we release and renew our self-concept. We know that nature is most fertile and expansive at its perimeters, where climates meet, and we also transform when we reach our edge states, the points at which we are forced to step out of our comfort zones and regroup. I like that. And I underlined this and wrote beside it 2023. That was all I wrote because that is just, as I said earlier, the perfect way to describe 2023 for me personally, and I think for a lot of other people as well. It was positive disintegration, a year of things that no longer serve us, ceasing to be in our lives anymore. Things fell apart that we don't need anymore. And it's just this year for me is resetting, renewing and growing and expanding in this like new and renewed version of myself. Let me turn the page. Is this the next page? It is. So the next part that I underlined says, just as a mountain is formed when two sections of the ground are forced against one another, your mountain will arise out of coexisting but conflicting needs. Your mountain requires you to reconcile two parts of you, the conscious and the unconscious. The part of you that is aware of what you want and the part of you that is not aware of why you're still holding yourself back. Forest fires need to do this, volcanoes need implosions, stars need collapse, and human beings often need to be faced with no other option but to change before they really do. The objective of being human is to grow. I really like that. Now, that was like a whole page that I just summarized in 3 sentences, but I really love that like it's all naturey and that we're all linked. There's something really feminine to me and really powerful about thinking that as women, our cycles are synced with the moons and they're synced with other women. Like I used to live in a house of 6 girls for nearly a year. And by the end of it, like I think 5 of our cycles were basically synced. And that's magic. You know, that is so incredible and so powerful. So I love this whole idea that humans are just part of nature as well, and it's not an idea, it's actually just science and fact, but it's so, to me anyway, magical and like spiritual to think about. And it also helps me connect with nature more whenever I think about the fact that like I'm just a little bit of a star in some water and like a little bit of magic, and it makes me feel really magical and powerful, and I just love it. Like a little fairy queen, maybe not a fairy queen, maybe like a little angel. I am a bit of an angel. I'm gonna stop talking now. Okay, so moving on. Maybe you know what your mountain is. Maybe it's addiction, weight, relationships, jobs, motivation, or money. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's a vague sense of anxiety, low self-esteem, fear, or a general discontentment that seems to bleed out onto everything else. The mountain is often less a challenge in front of us as it is a problem within us. An unstable foundation that might not seem evident on the surface, but is nonetheless shifting almost every part of our lives. What is your mountain? Ask yourself this question. Like, I was thinking about my mountain, and they give some really good examples there. You know, weight was for me a mountain for a really long time. Motivation, money have been mountains for me before. You know, they still are, to be honest. And this, like, maybe it's a vague sense of anxiety, low self-esteem, fear, or general discontentment. That was me for like the last 6 months of 2023. Actually, maybe not the last 6 months, maybe like the middle. It was the reason that I feel like the artist way showed up in my life. And through doing the artist way, I really feel like I've refined a sense of contentment and creativity and fulfillment. And I've spoken a lot about this in previous episodes before, where I just had this, like, I'm such a big goal setter, right? I fucking love goals. Like, I thrive off that shit. And last year I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to set any goals. Like, I just feel like I've reached everything this year and going for a vibe. And I still like the idea of going for a vibe, but also to me personally, I think you need to have clear goals. And last year I kind of achieved everything. I ticked everything off that I wanted to do. And I was just left with a sense of what is there now? And this like vague sense of anxiety. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, especially, this is so weird, especially around exam season, see, like Easter to May to June, I will wake up like multiple times during the night. Sometimes my heart is literally pumping because I'm like, like, what have I not studied for? Because I have so much fucking trauma left over from exam season, from going to such a heavily pressured academic school. Isn't that crazy? Like, I'm 27, I left school in 2015, and I still have that, I guess, just years and years and years of programming in our minds is still there in my subconscious. I should probably EFT tap on that, to be honest. But that sense of anxiety, the sense of there's nothing specific that I could have put my finger on as to why I wasn't fully content and happy, but there was just this general sense of unease and lack almost, which I hate saying because I always want to live a really full life, and I'm so lucky that I live the life I have and I was still feeling that. So I always think, if I'm feeling that in the environment and with the family and friends that I have, like, other people must have it so much worse. And that doesn't, like, it doesn't take away from how I felt, and I don't want it to take away from how you feel if you felt that as well, because it was so real. Like, sometimes there's no reason to feel the way we feel, we just feel that way. And I think the mountain for a lot of us will be that vague sense of anxiety, of discontentment, that just bleeds out into everything that we have and do and think. So I would ask yourself, what is your mountain, and are there mountains that you are attached to that maybe aren't really important in your life anymore and you can let go of it? Like, are there mountains that were such a big deal in your life previously that you're still stuck in them even though it's not a problem in your life anymore? Maybe your weight, for example, right? Maybe you, like, I definitely think I used to have an addiction to eating whenever I really think about it, or it was an addiction to freedom, which sounds really weird, but I was talking about this with Haley last week. Like, whenever I was a teenager, my parents were relatively strict with what I ate because my sister was older and really athletic, and she was like really focused on like calorie counting and eating really healthy, and my younger brothers were both really athletic as well, and I played a little bit of sports, but I just preferred like reading. I just loved reading Harry Potter, everything. I would stay in my room literally all summer and read. And because I wasn't moving as much, they were really strict on what I was eating. And it's kind of fucked up whenever I think about it now, but obviously they were just teaching me the best that they knew, and what, like, what else do you do in that situation? 22:22, by the way, in the recording. But when I think about when I actually gained quite a lot of weight, and it wasn't a huge gross amount of weight, but it was like a lot bigger than I am now, and I was definitely unhealthy. It was whenever I got my car and started earning money, and I wasn't earning a lot of money. I was working in like a soft play area cafe, if anybody knows Funworks in Glengormley, that is where I was working. So I wasn't like taking home a lot. It was only 2 days a week, but I had a car and I had some disposable income for the first time in my life. And there was a summer where every single summer I went to Tesco's every single summer. Every single day in the summer, I went to Tesco, bought a tub of Ben and Jerry's and a big thing of popcorn, and would mix them together and eat them. Like, maybe 70 to 80% of the days in that summer, that's what I did. Because I was addicted to the feeling of being able to eat whatever I wanted to eat. And it just got out of control. And it took me years to rein that in. And that was my mountain, right, at that time. And even now, I still come up against that sometimes, where I'm like, oh, like, I'm an adult, I can do whatever I want. But now my mountain's almost like reversed. It's like, oh no, I don't want to go back there. So I'm sometimes too strict and too stringent. It's still interesting the way it works. So genuinely, I'm really, really excited to see how many times I cry during this book and how often things just slap me in the face with, oh wow, that's still a problem. But ask yourself, what is your mountain? Are there mountains that you're still holding on to that you think you can let go of, whether it's an old relationship, or do you feel safer as a victim? Do you feel safer as a victim of your circumstances than you do as somebody who is able to take control and go out there and take responsibility for their lives? This is a big thing. I thought about this a lot last night as well. Like, I'm trying to think of an example for in my own life, but I can't really think of one off the top of my head. I'll try and think of one for next time. But there are so many people that you know who just, you could be one of them. We all probably are in some aspect of our lives. People who play the victim and who feel safer and thrive in that victim environment than they do actually taking responsibility and control of their own lives and moving forward and taking that risk. Because it is scary, and there's a safety in victimhood if it's self-imposed, obviously. And ask yourself, is there any aspect of your life that you are self-imposing victimhood? Because it's easier than actually going to do the thing that you don't want to do, but that's going to get you out of that trap, basically, that you've got yourself in. It's a bit of a vicious cycle, you know? So, Brianna goes on to say, your mountain is a block between you and the life you want to live. Facing it is also the only path to your freedom and becoming. You're here because a trigger showed you to your wound, and your wound will show you to your path, and your path will show you to your destiny. When you arrive at this breaking point, the foot of the mountain, the heat of the fire, the night that finally wakes you, you're at the crux of the breakdown. And if you're willing to do the work, you will find that it is the entryway to the breakthrough you have spent your entire life waiting for. Your old self can no longer sustain the life you're trying to lead. It is time for reinvention and rebirth. That's what January is. Reinvention and rebirth. I love that. I'm going to properly highlight that because I just underlined it. And lines that I really love, I like to properly highlight. I don't remember if I said this earlier. I don't think I did. Get a highlighter ready. There's going to be a lot of highlighting in this book. It's quite nicely laid out. I like the weirdly big spacing. I think it's quite great as somebody who loves to annotate and scribble all over books. Have a pencil handy. Write down questions and thoughts and anything else as it comes to you. Get some post-its. Have them handy as well. Like, make this book your bitch, scribble all over it, throw all your thoughts onto it, and really get the most out from it. Because I used to be so precious when I was younger about looking after books, and then a couple of years ago I was like, actually, this book needs to like work for me. Like, I paid for it, it's not a library. And I love the authenticity and personalization of like making a book my own now, like really scribbling over it and making it really like mine, making it work for me. So the last thing that I wrote here and that I wanted to mention is make a note of what your self-sabotaging behaviours are. Now, I wrote this beside chapter one, which will be the episode either Thursday or Friday this week. So I'll probably mention it again in chapter one, but I think it's a good way to kind of end this chapter as well, just ahead of chapter one. What are your self-sabotaging behaviours? For me, I wrote mine down. So I said, not writing things down, so bad for it, because then I have been suffering from brain fog a lot in the past the past 2 years, really. And I've got a bit of a sieve brain, and that's something I'm really focusing on building and rebuilding my memory, I guess, this year. So if I don't write things down, I just self-sabotage myself because I forget it. I'm flimsy in that I'm all talk and very little action. I talk myself out of things as quickly as I talk myself into them. Lack mindset, even when it comes to opportunities, I will be like, oh, they can have that, but I can't, or I'm so happy for her, but like that could never happen for me. And if you've ever listened to my podcast, you know I'm an optimistic and opportunistic person. So for me to think that, I always think, wow, other people must be more limited, like, because I look at my limited beliefs sometimes and I'm like, wow, why, where has this come from? Why do I think this? Like, what? Like, it's just crazy that I would ever have that belief. So I need to go through some of my limited beliefs as well, because it's definitely self-sabotaging. And consistency, I can struggle staying consistent sometimes, as you may have realized, but whenever I do stick to something, I get really into it, as I'm really into this book. So make a list of what your self-sabotaging behaviors are. Try and think about what your mountain is. Think about if there are any victim cycles that you're stuck in. And that, I think, will be the end of the introduction before chapter one on later this week, which is called The Mountain Is You. And the first line of it is, there is nothing holding you back in life more than yourself, which I absolutely love. So I'm going to end it there. But just before I do, like I said, scribble all over your book, make it your own, make it work for you, get a highlighter. It's 239 pages, which is an introduction and 7 chapters. So I'm going to release 2 episodes a week, so for like a chapter and episode. If some of the episodes are shorter, because I'm reading this in real time with you, then maybe we can put them into 1 episode, but we'll just see how it goes. And at the end, I'm going to do like a review of the book as well. So there's the intro episode, which is this, and then the 7 chapter episodes, and then there'll be like a final review episode as well. I'm really excited for this book, The Mountain Is You. I'm excited to just be slapped in the face with a harsh reality check, and for the book to literally be like, bitch, get out of your own way, because honestly, that's what I need a lot of the time. And I hope that you're excited for it as well. I am going to put together a group chat of some kind. I just can't figure out or decide on a platform. I really want to do an Instagram channel because I feel like it's easiest, but for some reason I can't do it on my podcast account, even though
like there's no minimum requirement for followers, and even though I'm a creator account and everything else, it's just not really working. So I'm gonna think about it. I don't know whether to do like Patreon, but then it's like a different platform, or like just WhatsApp. I'll think about it. Let me know if you have any preference. And that's everything for this week. I am about to go eat some lovely creamy tomato rigatoni and then get back to work because I have a meeting at 2. And that's all that I have to say for this episode. Thank you for sticking with me. Happy New Year, and I will see you later this week. Oh, and please leave a rating and review if you haven't already. Bye.